This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got preferred parking in Pittsburgh. That was some nice alliteration. Oh, this cough syrup is really working. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for this futuristic and incredible podcast. So much happening. Last week, if you listen regularly, and really, why wouldn't you? Given that it's America's and the world's number one podcast, probably. Anyway, last week, we previewed a new show that I've been doing with my friends Jim Biederman and Jody Lennon, and of course, Chris Gersbeck, the brains behind the operation. That we've been recording at QED Astoria out there in Queens each week. And the show, it's a show in which Jim and Jody talk to me about my important role in various points in history. How I was responsible for CBGBs, how I was in the Eagles, how I used to be Son of Sam's dog walker, things like that. And we've been recording a bunch of episodes, and we've been calling the live show You Had to Be There, and we were going to call the podcast that, and then we released it yesterday, which is to say the 27th, and then quickly realized there were already about 78 podcasts called You Had to Be There, including one that I had been a guest on and did the theme song for. My friends Nikki Glaser and Sarah Schaefer used to do a podcast called You Had to Be There. And I have a head injury, and I somehow spaced on that. And so we quickly changed the name, which, thanks to futuristic technology, wasn't that hard. So now the new podcast is called Dave Hill History Fluffer, which I think is a better title anyway. So I take this moment in time to encourage you to go on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever, and subscribe to Dave Hill History Fluffer. It's our exciting new podcast, and the show's been super blast to do, and hopefully you'll love it. Hopefully you'll love it so much, and it's a unique show, if I do say so myself. You know, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, you know, it's me hanging out talking to people in my apartment, but Dave Hill History Fluffer, that's some crazy shit. They're both incredible podcasts, let's be clear. Anyway, so please go check it out, Dave Hill History Fluffer. There's two episodes up already on iTunes and, you know, all the podcasting places. And so, Dave Hill History Fluffer. Go listen, let me know what you think, please. I'd be so grateful. You can hear Lucy in the background. She's chewing on her ball. I don't know if you can hear that. It's a wild scene. What's going on with me, Dave? You know what I wanted to... Speaking of, I know I always talk about the Patreon. It's probably getting annoying, but I did want to thank some people, because the Patreon is, you know, helping us keep this... I am using my Spire today, which is awesome. I'm not using our new microphones because I'm recording alone, and let's face it, I lack the sophistication to set up the microphones properly, so it might sound a little different, this intro. But the Patreon money that so many of you have so kindly subscribed and contributed to is helping us keep this a slick operation and do the new podcasts like Dave Hill History Fluffer and other incredible content we have coming down the pike. So go to patreon.com/Dave Hill. And help out if you can. Throw some money in the till. Help us keep gas in the tank. And you get t-shirts, patches, all sorts of things. You get membership into my street gang, the Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit. And the t-shirts for that are coming soon, too. God, Lucy's, she's, I don't know if you can hear her marauding. But speaking of marauding, I wanted to thank some of the new subscribers to the Patreon, specifically Micah Armada. Micah, thank you so much. I did a show. Micah's hilarious, and she's awesome. Lucy, come on. Lucy's interrupting. Lucy, I'm podcasting. Come on. Give me the ball. Anyway, what I was saying was Micah Armada is awesome and hilarious. I did a show with her in Montreal a few weeks back, and she was kind enough to join the Patreon here, and as such, she gets her Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit street gang name. Micah, your Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit name is Micah Armada, the Montreal Marauder. Chris, if you can add some echo after I say Marauder, that'd be pretty cool. I also want to thank RJ Anderson. RJ, your Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit gang member name is RJ Anderson, Keir of Cars. I also want to thank Evan McDowell. Evan, your Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit street gang name is Evan McDowell, Jaywalker of Doom. Chris, if you can add echo after I say Doom, that I don't even know if I should check if he does. Anyway, let's get into it. I want to go to Patreon, patreon.com/Dave Hill, and help out if you can. Help us keep this incredible content coming down the pike like a motherfucker. Oh, great. Now I swore, and we're going to have to get, like, one of those explicit warnings. I got to get my act together. Anyway, did I mention Dave Hill History Fluffer? Go listen. You're going to love it. You're going to love it so much that you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is better than Breaking Bad or something. Whatever. Whatever your favorite thing is, it's better than that. Did I ever talk about Letterkenny? I must have talked about Letterkenny, right? Speaking of favorite things, go watch that show. That's a favorite thing of mine. I love that show. It's the best show. Anyway, Lucy, come on. I'm in the middle of podcasting. I'm podcasting, Lucy. Bring me the ball. Bring me the ball. Come on. This is unprofessional. I don't know if you can hear the ball bouncing on there, but it's crazy. Okay, give me the ball. Come on. Oh, come on. Go get it. Oh, jeez. It's a whole situation. Anyway, my guest today. Let's get into the meat of the whole thing. Where I talk to some lovely people over coffee, though I should put some coffee on, shouldn't I, Dave? Right. I should. I have two guests today. They are authors, writers, so much more, Elizabeth Keenan and Greg Wands, who together are known as E.G. Scott. They write together and have morphed into this pseudonym person. Pseudonym is this person? E.G. Scott. And they have a great new book out called The Woman Inside, published by Dutton in the last few weeks. And it's an incredible book. I'm just digging in. It's a thriller. It's a mystery. It'll blow your mind out your butt. And it's been getting a lot of heat. It's a novel. It's got a great cover. I'm looking at it. I even saw it at the airport, and I was super jelled because I have a new book coming out, not to brag, in October. It's called Parking the Moose by me, Dave Hill. And, gosh, I can't believe I just turned a plug in for their book into a plug for my book. That really says a lot about what a piece of garbage I am. Anyway, but all by way of saying, I saw their book at the airport, and I was like, oh, man, that's sweet. I want a book at the airport. I don't know if I'll get a book at the airport. But by way of saying, The Woman Inside is everywhere, and it's a great book. People love it, and I'm loving it. I'm reading it like a big boy in my home. And here we go. We're going to talk to them now. And when I say we, I mean me and Lucy, Elizabeth Keenan, and Greg Wands, a.k.a. E.G. Scott, author of the great new book, The Woman Inside. Here's our conversation. Went a little something like this.
She was lovely. She was great. Yeah, very down to earth.
We're podcasting now.
We're going live.
It's happening.
Okay. I had to capture. Well, Lucy drinking water is a big feature of the podcast. But
does she kick it off that way? Is this a standard procedure?
She gets thirsty a lot.
Is this in place of a theme song?
Because this is the theme song. You can move to this. There'll be action music in the lead-in. Okay. But I had to get...
You edit this. I mean, there's no post-production.
So, yeah. Okay. I have a team... Yeah. A vast team of...
I should know. Your production budget is always
post.
Very high.
It's really high. Some say... It's too slick. But I'm here with Elizabeth Keenan.
Hi.
And Greg Wands.
Hello.
Who together you are known, well, you write together under the pseudonym E.G. Scott.
That's correct. That's right.
And we sort of joined in mid-conversation unless Chris edits it out. But Chris, I'm going to ask you not to because it was hot, Goldie Hawn conversation. That's what I kind of wanted to get. Sort of a fly on the wall. This is what we talk about when not. But I feel like we need to revisit. Well, you worked with Goldie Hawn. I've known you all this time.
It was a blip on the radar. It was this. Somehow extra work came up in conversation. I was saying that I randomly was a background extra in this movie Town and Country, which they shot out in Long Island. And we were at Marymount together doing theater at the time. I had gone, my friend Jesse St. Louis and I, he's out on the West Coast now, we had gone randomly to this open call, kind of over the summer. I forgot about it. We're at school. Months later, I get a phone call to do this, to do background extra work, so I was a waiter. But what I was saying is in between takes, at one point in there, I ended up just, we were shooting at this beautiful house on the beach that I think they had set up to be like a country club, right? And I just randomly ended up having a moment where I ended up on the back deck of this place, staring out at the ocean with Goldie Hawn, like just sort of standing next to me.
That sounds like a moment.
It was. No,
some downtime?
A little downtime between takes.
Do you think she thinks about that moment and wonders what happened to that extra?
That's very sweet of you. No, I don't think she's thought of that once.
She was probably like,
But she was lovely. She was lovely. Shout out to Goldie Hawn.
She was like, this is what it's all about for me.
That's what
these
it is.
Moments.
Yeah.
Right.
These moments. Well, I think she was having a quiet moment of, taking in the splendor of nature before her. So
I love it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I didn't know. So you guys met...
Yeah, we
at Marymount.
Yeah, 96. We met the first week of freshman year of college.
Right.
So we didn't.
And I didn't like you.
That's
immediately.
Right. No,
my first impression.
He's not a first impression guy. I mean, I can tell you.
You'll vouch for that.
Yeah.
And your listeners probably at this point as well. They're probably thinking like this guy.
I think of him as like heroin. The first time you're puking, you're like, why? And the second time, you're like, I'm in for life.
Well, that's because you're trying to chase the dragon.
Right? Yeah,
You're trying to recapture that first moment. So,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not so bad.
I think that's better. Like with people, a lot of times when they are right out of the gate, you're like, well,
yeah,
this is going to come back to 4 a.m. one night.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
But sometimes I get excited when I meet someone who I'm like, I had to figure this one out.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to peak early.
You don't want to.
It's more boring than that.
We've talked about this where, I don't know if you have had this experience, but I have definitely, people who've ended up being really important in my life, my first encounters with them or my first impressions were not accurate at all. And they've ended up being, like people, I have a longtime friend who I think when we first met, not who's Greg, who is not Greg, we didn't mix, and she's one of my oldest friends now. So I think there must be some kind of friction that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, Twinkies are delicious at first.
Yeah.
But you can't make a life out of eating Twinkies.
I mean, you can try, but...
But like, tiramisu is actually delicious at first, too.
This whole thing doesn't work, what I was going to say. I was going to say it's more an acquired, and then you're like, oh, this is a vastly superior dessert item. Right. But
you want to come in hot right off the bat. Mitch Hedberg's got that great bit about pancakes.
What's that?
Where he does that. Where he's basically, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to butcher this, but he's equating something to pancakes, and he goes, so such and such is like pancakes. You know, great for the first three bites, and then you're fucking sick of them.
Right.
Yeah. Not bad.
You're good for the first couple of bites.
Thanks.
Then, yeah.
Thanks.
Well, you don't want to be pancakes.
No, you don't want to.
You want to be.
You want to be pancakes.
Then you don't want to be vanilla ice cream either.
That's true. No, you
unless
don't.
It's like a real high end, good one. But even then,
with the beans, like the vanilla bean, where you get this little
the hint
little
of it
specks.
Yeah.
Being in the ice cream.
This is why my podcast is number one. Insights.
I'm getting it.
Bold insights.
Nuance. Minutia.
Now, you guys, I will have already given tons of plugs for the book.
Great.
Thank you.
In fact, I've already recorded the intro to this show, which is our first. Usually I record it after, but because of my schedule,
okay,
I'm like, I have to get it done before.
Yeah.
And shoot it off.
Okay. Well, we're
so on. I just speculated the good times. Right? I anticipated the dessert item conversation. But I was talking about your book. I don't know why I'm holding your book up to you, but I'm doing it. Because in my mind, we're on a morning talk show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're on television, right? That's why you got dressed up.
Yeah.
You
know? I did hair and makeup.
Yeah.
So we're here.
Some
and,
textured patterns.
And I've already, as I said in the intro, I was really jealous. As because everything comes out in form of jealousy with me,
sure.
But this book, I was at the airport, and I was like, they're not messing around. These guys are in it to win it.
Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Airports are big.
We've gotten good airport placement.
That's pretty sweet.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of a thrill when you're getting on an airplane and you're like walking by your own book on the shelf. That's pretty. That's a big
sweet.
I love the idea of people buying this at the airport, then sitting next to their spouse for like a couple of hours and reading
on the plane,
it, and increasingly starting to be suspicious and paranoid, and you know, kind of side eyeing. I think we're fostering a lot of tension.
We're ruining a lot of vacations.
Yeah, because this book, like, it's not a feel-good relationship book. I mean, I'm just getting into it. But the couple in this book, it's not a great situation for them.
They are not. They're not good people.
Not
to be judgmental,
right.
You know. I mean, we did create them, but they're not good people.
No, well, it's not fun. It wouldn't be fun if they were good.
I mean, come on.
Well, in this genre, one of the reasons I think we love it so much is just the kind of despicable characters.
I was going to use the word despicable. Yeah, that wavelength that we're on.
I mean, and for what they end up doing to each other and to other people, you wouldn't want them to be likable because it would just be
disconcerting. Yeah. Right. I always, as a reader, I always love that trick, if you can pull it off, where you can make unlikable characters compelling.
Right.
Because it's a bit of a trick to be able to pull off, but if you can do it, it's always fun.
Like Tony Soprano.
Oh yeah,
from The Sopranos.
Well, there's such a spate in, especially in television. We definitely talked about that. You know, working on this book of that kind of anti-hero. You had Tony Soprano, you had Walter White, Don Draper.
Right.
You had like really nuanced, complicated. The Wire, I thought, was an amazing representation of really just nuanced, very realistic, fallible characters across the board.
Not enough women, though.
No.
So we kind of tried to fill that.
And that was part of it. We said, you know, you've had a lot of male anti-hero characters, and so this was sort of part of our you know, mission in this thing is to make nuanced, complex women, but who always had agency in their own lives. That was the big one, is like having agency, whether you agree with how they, you know, behave or not. They're taking like, you know, an active role in their lives.
Yeah.
Right. So being kind of background players.
And I feel like I'm going to ask you questions that you guys, because you guys just did a massive book tour.
Yeah, we did a 5-city tour, and then we have a couple, we did a great event at Joe's Pub the other night.
Yeah, that was fun.
With a great sort of lineup of writers.
Nice.
For this House of Speakeasy series, and that was fun. We got to get up and kind of talk about our process a bit in the background, what brought us to writing mm-hmm. the book in the first place. That was great. But yeah, no, it's been a wild ride for sure.
We love questions though.
Yeah.
What was the best? What was the best? I was at the New York
Yeah. In fact, you were signing copies of our
I regret that. And
no, you shouldn't. You should not at all.
Because I feel like it was not my idea. Had it been my idea, I think it would have been remarkably. I would argue it was disrespectful to give in to the request. I should not have done it.
Hindsight.
It was undermining your work and what was happening. But I blame Eric Gilliland.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeff Sheehan.
And Jeff Sheehan.
Who
yeah.
both.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they were behind it.
Oh, they were behind it. That makes a lot of sense.
Big time.
Yeah. Big time, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Shout out to both of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was an awesome book event.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was explosive.
It was a really good
Some book events you go to, and it's just whoever was in the bookstore already trying to get in out of the rain.
Yeah. Right. Taking a nap.
And they're counting their ketchup packets in their purse and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
And hoping there are free crackers at the reading.
Yeah.
But this was a guns blazing.
Yeah, it was a great hometown event. We really people came.
It was so crowded that I saw people that I knew, and I was like, I can't get involved in trying to say hello to them.
No,
because there's too much going on. I've got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's chaos here. I'm getting out of this bookstore.
Yeah. Well, you guys hit the after party.
I went to the after party.
Did some rounds there. That was
though. I didn't know we were supposed to talk about the after party because not everyone. School enough to go to the after party.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was there was a occupancy limit.
That's really what it was.
It wasn't a cool. Okay, disappointing.
But I mean, you did make the cut.
Friends and family.
It was a friends and
It
was close friends.
It was
and family.
Kind of like a wedding in that sense, where like we had to pick the people that we'd all talked to or seen in the last 6 months.
Yeah, we were like basically we had to get. I think it was they capped it about 75 people, so we kind of had to be very. We had to whittle it down.
This goes to my next, because not to, as I've already done in the intro, I've already somehow mentioned my own books.
Which you showed.
Shameless of me. No, because I was musing about the airport and stuff and how, as a fellow author, I was so excited, but also jealous rage. But going back, I was just... I turned in my book yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
My third book.
I was actually on one of the research trips for that book. And
In heavily into the book.
I love that. If the book is anything like the wild ride that we took up there, up in the Great North.
Thrill ride.
Do you have a pub date yet? Do you guys know when you come out?
Yeah, it's October something.
This coming. October 2019.
Yeah, it was September 24th, but it just got pushed back 2 weeks. I'm told it's
too much,
a good thing.
Too much heat for September.
Well, they want to make it like every Christmas.
Hot title,
Hanukkah.
Yeah. It's a good place.
Kwanzaa.
So everyone,
holiday gift.
Yeah.
Bonanza. Yeah. But
so keep an eye out for that.
Right. But chaotic event to come, right?
That's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Cheese plates. But but I didn't bring that up to talk about my book, which is out in October.
Which is out in October, yeah. Exactly.
The thank you section, I was really struggling. You mentioned the wedding invite, because I was like, where do I cut this off? Because this is what I struggle with every time. I probably put more... This is probably... why my sales are not great is that I put all the thought goes into the acknowledgments. The book, not so much. I'm just trying to hit a word count.
You have seen that, right?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have brought it up had I not.
No, good.
But, and thank you. But I was just like, gosh, where do I? Because all of a sudden I'm like, who are my best friends? And then you kind of go like, God, so many of these fuckers had nothing to do with this book whatsoever.
Yes. Yeah, it's tricky.
Not a damn thing. Then you start to go, well, all right, I'm going to thank everyone who went on the trips with me a bunch. You know, not that many, but, you know, you and a handful of other people. Yeah. Then you go like, well,
who did it? Hey.
releasing.
No, I get it.
That's the listeners are used to this nonsense that's by
security.
Now.
No, that's high-end security.
That's okay. Why I'm number one. Dog sounds.
Yeah. It's like cat videos on the on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Well, we got... Today we're using the Spire. Oh, Lucy, hey, come on. Good girl.
This thing is... I'm excited. It's sort of like... It's like Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah.
It's an amazing device. I have to say, not to veer off into a Spire commercial.
That's okay. We can do
but
that.
But, like... I had... One of my rock bands had to do... We got asked to do, like, a demo for some... commercial. Yeah. And so
was this Valley Lodge or was this
no Painted Doll
and oh, Painted Doll. Okay, nice.
And so what we live in different cities so and we're like needed it right away so I was like just go set up the Spire and play the drums and he sent it over and it sounded great.
Wow.
So there. So, anyway,
so your listeners can look forward to crisp succinct audio.
Yes.
That was good voice and speech work.
Thank you. Well, I tried to, you know, in the intonation. There's a word for that, right? When you deliver a word that is what the word means.
Oh, isn't there something? Onomatopoeia?
Is that what it is?
It's like,
is that onomatopoeia? Okay, yeah. I always forget which is which.
Like
I
think, whoosh and...
Yeah. Flush.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So crisp.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You hit that...
There we go.
That liquid S into the P.
Sibilant T's. Do you remember that?
I do.
From Voice and Speech?
I do. That's right.
You took because you guys are theater types.
Yeah, we're like theater.
And the first week, I remember the voice and speech teacher would make you go up and talk about yourself, and then she would completely kind of eviscerate everything about your speech and tell you where you were from regionally, and say this is everything that's wrong with you in your voice and speech.
A lot of breaking down to build up in theater.
And I had, you know, a parent from Brooklyn, a parent from Omaha, lived in Boston, New Jersey. So it was like
they
I
knew everything.
Yeah, and she was like, "You're hopeless.
You're hopeless." good times.
That's whoa. Yeah. I would have been in tears.
A lot of crying. Yeah. A lot of crying in theater school.
That's what I noticed. I've taken a couple acting classes, not to brag. But I'm, you know, primarily a wild horse. Pardon?
You're a natural. You didn't
well, you have an effortless
well,
charisma
I decided,
on camera.
What's that?
You have an effortless charisma on camera.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's either you want it or you don't, I figure.
True.
You either want this or you don't. There's not.
I get it.
But I had to quit because everyone was crying all the time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is bumming me out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
because...
very depressing.
Yeah, and I was just like, I can't be around this.
Yeah.
And then eventually I realized, and this is, I'm probably giving away too many actors' secrets.
They're going to get
you
for that.
But one day I realized, I was like, you know, it seems like when I just really memorize the lines, I'm better off than everything else they've ever told me. I'm like, if I know what I'm supposed to say to the point where I don't have to think at all about it, then that's better than... all the other advice or teaching I've... But I'm sure that's horrible. That's because I'm a simpleton.
No, I think you're going to get a lot of acting schools trying to shut your podcast down now.
They're going
to
shut...
You may have just revealed a secret.
Yeah. One day, that's what I did. I finally had... I had, you know, never booked anything. And then one day I was like, I'm just going to memorize... decides.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try that and see where that gets me. And then I just started booking stuff. Yeah, like, I'm like, oh, I just know what I'm supposed to do.
Right. There you go.
And then,
took the straightforward.
It's been a rocket ship ever since.
It sure has. Yeah.
You've got a
long and varied resume.
Oh, it's incredible. This is one of my podcasts. It's not, in the New York Times. No, I don't know why I mentioned that. I think it has. Who knows? But I was asking about the acknowledgments and the struggle of that and how it is arguably the greatest struggle of any book.
The
book process.
Well, and for years I would write the acknowledgments in my head before I'd actually written the book, which made me then wonder if like I was actually a writer or just someone who wanted to publish a book, because I think those are two very different things.
I think it's similar to... Yeah, and I'm still not sure what the answer is. Like, because I realize that writing books I solely do to try to impress my dad.
Same.
And it's not working. Like, in every book, I did this yesterday, at the end of the book, because I know the first one was profanity-laced, just sure. top to bottom. Mm, I think F-bomb on the first page.
Yeah. Hilarious.
It barely spoke of that book. In the second book, at the end, I did a search. I finished my last process is to do a search of F-bombs. And then I do a search of shit. Make sure there's no C words at all.
None.
I appreciate that.
Class.
He's not having that.
Yeah.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the UK, so sometimes that you know, it's easy to get loose with it.
More casual, sure.
But I not that I do, but that would be where I'm coming from. If I were gonna, sure. if there was all of a sudden gonna be a Cockney character,
sure.
I wouldn't. There would that would be the only occasion. Just but that and left and that right. being said, it's never happened.
Okay.
But yeah, but. I do a search, and then this last yesterday, I was like, "Wow, this is the least f bombs of any book yet."
Do you think this will be the one to get his approval?
Must be it.
I don't think so.
No,
I doubt it. But the acknowledgments. That it is what you were saying. Like, because I remember like playing in bands. Like you always be like read records the. Sleeves and stuff,
yeah.
And then you go like, "Oh man, it'd be cool to thank people and give them silly nicknames and refer to inside jokes that no one will know what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
And then I think with books, it starts to turn into the same thing where you're like, "To my crew over at, you know what I'm talking about,
right. mm-hmm.
that sort of
all
thing."
All kinds of fun inside
you're
jokes.
You're thinking at every. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like it's an extension of the yearbook, I'm realizing.
It totally
it kind
is.
Of is.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's kind of like, see how many people I know.
Right.
Well, that's, in publishing, people always read the acknowledgments before anything else, because everyone knows each other.
That's secret, right?
So,
yeah.
I mean, and I do the same thing, because you open and you see who edited it, who was the agent, who everyone on it. And it's kind of, it feels good, because it's like, oh, I know all these really smart people who were able to create this book.
Yeah.
But there is a sense of clickiness, I think, too.
Sure.
But, yeah, and then if you forget someone, then they'll be like...
Right. Although I was going to say, there are people that I painstakingly was like, should I include them, not include them? Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've even read the acknowledgments, which is fine.
That's all, yeah. There's that, too.
They probably don't even know they're in there.
Right.
I go straight to it, even if I don't know the author.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the slight chance I might have been thrown in there.
By mistake.
You cut a wide swath. You're an influential gentleman.
You never know.
Yeah,
across
a lot of mediums, you know.
I was just doing this yesterday where you start to like, I'm like, that fucker, I haven't seen him in 2 years. He had nothing to do with this book. Why am I writing his name down?
Right, yeah. It's like a reflex almost. That's I think what we try to do is make, you know, because you do have to limit it. So it's people who kind of worked on the book, had a hand in it, or have worked, who we've worked with in a creative aspect at some point.
Right.
You know, like, you've been a reader for stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We've been readers for each other on other projects. We've done, you know, we've collaborated on stuff. So it's like there, you know, there's a certain kind of...
And people in writers' groups over the years.
People in writers' groups, too. You know, like our, the people who we've been in writers' groups or collaborated on projects. Or exactly, the support systems, yeah. There's a lot of that, too, because it is, you know... There is a bit of that. It takes a village aspect.
Mm-hmm. Do you like... Well, now, with writers' groups, do you find that it's as helpful as it is sometimes, but it also can make you push back and be like, fuck that person. Mm-hmm. I'm right about this. I didn't articulate that well, which is another flaw.
Well, no. It's just, you know, you have a very... your brain is a really...
I was with you every step of the way. Like, does it become counterproductive, right?
Well, like, because sometimes you go, okay, I'll listen to it. Yeah, that's a good idea. And then at one point, you're like, you know what? No, this person's fucking insane.
Right. Are you talking about people giving you feedback on a piece you're working on? Like, people giving you constructive criticism?
Yeah.
Is that... Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. The way we structure... The one that we were in together, and I think the ones that we've done sort of separately as well, we tend to structure where you're getting sort of feedback on what works in the piece. And a lot of it we're doing, we're not necessarily doing... You know, some people are doing writers groups where it's like, say, a chapter from something you're working on right now and you're workshopping.
Yeah.
The way we have done it before is more writing prompts. Mm-hmm. So some sort of a visual cue, and then you'll just write a, you'll free write a piece off of that, and then at the end it's sort of like, oh, okay, this is what you did off of that. This is what kind of sent you. So it's not as much, it's not as much of a workshopping situation.
Mm-hmm. And
in the instances that we've done it, it's a little more just like a free write kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and we've both been in writers groups and apart from each other. And the one I was in for a really long time, it was like on and off for 13 years. Right. And I was literally the last person in the group to get published. So I'm glad that happened. But the
yeah, but now look at those.
No, they're all great.
They're all turning tricks. Their lives are in shambles.
Shambles. Again, peaking early. You know, it's like.
But the first 5 years of that group was really us just getting Magnum, double Magnum bottles of wine and drinking and talking about being writers. And then by the end of it,
that's
we would say,
it,
let's talk about some of the writing. And I remember this one guy in the group who was kind of a transient. He was in and out. He had like pages of criticism for mine and was just like totally going at me. And I was trying not to get upset. Yeah. And then it was very clear he hadn't read it because he identified my main character as a male character and was a female.
So he was just bringing his stuff to the table.
Yeah, so
and unloading that on you. Yeah,
but it was a good reminder to me that like so many people who want to hear themselves talk about writing and not actually help you as a writer.
Yeah,
that happens. I think in those
quite
settings.
A bit. Yeah.
Well, it seems like writing maybe more than any other art form, I guess. Is that what I want to say?
Sure.
Seems like there can be there's a lot of people who can stay very busy, intimidating, and just be kind of, but without ever doing it.
Oh yeah,
they just drink a lot.
Oh sure, yeah, exactly. Yeah, people
and just talk about writing
and talk about writing,
and like how they
expound on the process of writing without writing. It's like you can just also just be a vigorous drinker.
Right.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I mean,
and talk about books and writing.
You can do that, you know. I mean, don't have to bandy about the title writer. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Yeah, I mean, you know, where we go get coffee in the morning, you walk in there. Any given morning, there's a sea of people on laptops.
Yeah.
Looking around at other people on laptops.
I know. I find that, like... I mean, granted, like, if I were writing in there, I think everyone would just probably just be like, he's probably on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, that guy.
Granted, sure.
But then you see, like, at Grounded, like, Malcolm Gladwell's in there a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's the example of the guy who gets in there. I've never made eye contact with him when he's on his laptop. He's just, he's in it, right?
No, but I asked him.
He does his thing.
No, I asked him, though. I was like, seriously, what goes on?
Mm-hmm.
And, because I was like, he must just write like 12 hours a day, just every day. That's all he does.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
He said it's like 2 hours.
He writes 2 hours. And then he's like, the rest of the time, I go walk on the High Line. I get hot chocolate at Chelsea Market.
Right. But he has laser focus. I mean, when you see him in there, those 2 hours, he's in it.
Right.
I mean, he's in. He's not,
well, maybe
he's not sticking around.
Yeah.
I think he's in it, but then he's also maybe just doesn't want to talk to me. Could be that. I think it's equal parts, and I'm friends with him, and I wouldn't mind him hearing me say that. And I'm not offended by it.
Right.
But I'm like, he's either cranking out a bestseller or is just on Facebook and trying, does not want to talk.
Well,
could be either one.
Whatever he's doing at Grounded, he's quite a prolific gentleman on the page. So, you know,
whatever
he's doing is
working. We're prolifically avoiding you.
He's doing is working.
I'm probably, you know, it's one of those things, he's probably, well, what do the people always say, like, people aren't thinking about you as much as you think.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just not.
Yeah.
But I choose to believe that he is focusing full energy on avoiding me whenever I'm in there.
So
we're both in there.
So
that's what's the bulk of his work.
So the several best-selling titles that he has and the numerous New Yorker articles are just a byproduct of avoiding you.
1% inspiration, 90% avoiding me.
I hope that you are in his acknowledgements. Because
after this.
Like,
I don't know.
Pretty much the reason.
You know, this, I have to check.
Yeah.
This is making me
want to
check.
The wind beneath his wings.
See, we may have just created friction in a perfectly good friendship.
I think so.
And,
I think
it's good. I think this
E.G. Scott, ruining friendships
and marriages.
Undermining marriages since 2000 and...
We have to get that on the jacket for the next book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We do. We should just get cards. We should get business cards made up. Yeah. Nice, heavy card stock.
No one has them anymore.
I know, but we'll bring them back.
Yeah.
I've been thinking, it's a classy move.
I think it is.
Especially when it's like, heavy duty.
That's right. You got to get a good card stock. Like, you know, you can't be half-assing it on the card stock.
People are like, they have their shit together when you have a really...
Yeah.
I know, that is adulting,
like
right? If you have...
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get one like the thickness of a coaster.
Yeah,
so
it'll be like that.
Really,
it's like the scene from American Psycho, you know, where they're comparing the cards, and you know, some cat's got like it's like a brick, you know.
Yeah, and then like it's odd size, so you can't really put it in your wallet.
right. Yeah.
It becomes a whole situation.
A very strange size. Yeah, I like this.
Or maybe a mirror component, so then people are always looking at themselves
that
in it,
nice.
And you know,
I love it.
So,
well, it's a way to appeal to their vanity.
Right, exactly.
They say that there's that psychological thing that people say is if you want people to connect, you use their names in conversation a lot.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Which is bad for me because I can't ever remember anyone's name.
That's straight out of Dale Carnegie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're, you know, so, I mean, if we're hanging out and we're talking to Dave Hill, you know, Dave Hill's going to probably... you know, key in a particular way because, you know...
Because he's Dave Hill and really good,
you know,
at it.
So
right. And I'm totally like, oh my God, this is
listeners
awesome.
Out
I love
there.
These guys.
Listeners out here, you can't see this, what's going on, but Dave Hill went wrapped with attention.
Totally. I hear my name, I keep perking up.
He's in it.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he was slumping for a bit, but he's in there, I keep hearing
my name, and I'm like, oh my God.
He's newly reinvigorated.
Incredible.
Newly
I love
reinvigorated.
It.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next question regarding the book, The Woman Inside, by E.G. Scott.
Thank you so much.
Is
I see what you did there.
You guys, well, there's two of you, Elizabeth and Greg, and I thought, oh, this is cool, because they'll just be secretive, and they'll be E.G. Scott, and maybe eventually they'll hire someone to run around... throw drinks in people's face, whole performance art thing, which I would have been game for if you chose me to be.
You were on our short list.
E.G. Scott.
You were.
But someone who's just going around, just doing horrible things all over town.
Yeah.
And, but you didn't do that. You guys. Yet. It's never too late.
Yeah.
But what was there any thought to not reveal yourselves? As
there is actually a particular line of reasoning in doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Well, I guess
a particular line of reasoning in revealing yourselves or not revealing ourselves
until we did, which we eventually did.
Right.
We ended up doing. Yeah, when we first came out, it was sort of veiled a bit in secrecy, and then we did have an author reveal piece
in
Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah,
where they kind of did a whole
again. I was excited for you, but also jealous and enraged.
Yeah, I get that.
Fuck this book.
Yeah.
You know, the things you do when you love your friends and you want to celebrate their accomplishments.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be equally as upset.
This brings me around to a quick, I meant to say this earlier, Eugene Cordero sends his love. Shout out to Eugene.
I love Eugene.
Yeah, he loves you as well. It's a love fest, but... We went.
He's in a new TV show.
Well, we went last night to Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, so fuck that guy.
Yeah, no. and it's a great. We watched the first couple episodes. Great, it's the Broken Lizards, Broken Lizard crew. It's Heffernan and Lemmy.
Yeah, I know. Those
and
guys.
Eugene actually couldn't make it because he's shooting something else. So again, fuck him.
Right.
And good for him.
Successful.
But he said to this point, he texted me. We were going back and forth, and he said, "Would you do me a favor?" I said, yeah. He says, when you see the posters on the subway, would you take a Sharpie and like draw the dick on my face? You know?
So
absolutely, we'll do that for you.
I like that.
You know?
That's pretty cool.
It's like he's getting out ahead of it.
Right.
You know? He's like,
yeah, get it.
If you know, someone's going to draw a dick on my face and I want it to be you, it's like, you know, you're the one who did this, you know?
I want it to be you.
You know?
I'm going to go and razor his eyes out.
That's going to be good. All right, so Eugene, if you're listening to this, if you see dicks, that's me. If you see razored eyes,
that's me.
Yeah.
That's Dave Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that made me think of that. There is that thing of like, you know, congratulations and fuck you.
We did, to your point. We did, going back to the earlier question talk about doing like a J.T. LeRoy situation.
Well, that
at one
and,
point.
And that could have been. Yeah, you know, that could be. Yeah, that could still and that could still be you. Again, right. You're on the short
list. I'm ready. I feel like I'm.
You're on the short list.
I would wear like a trench coat and always be wet, even when it's not raining.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
You know, like something's wrong.
Yeah,
we don't know what.
Up. And then it gets to the point. But what I want the. I think the look. We can do it. This thing where the look becomes so iconic that then. There's where you're trying to flip it and you're trying to kind of stay out of the spotlight, but it's they're onto you.
Right.
Yeah. So then it's suddenly like you're still wet in the trench coat, but then you're randomly wearing a like a fucking werewolf mask. But everyone's yeah. like, who's he fooling?
Right.
You know?
I love it.
Yeah. We'll work
this on is
it.
Probably what I was meant to do.
I think you were.
Because all I want to do is hang out and eat and drink anyway, and this seems like my time to shine.
I think so.
The embodiment of E.G. Scott.
I like this. Okay. All right, well...
Going to, like, I'll try to... Whatever's left of the New York haunts,
yeah,
I'll just go to those.
Yeah, well, go while you can.
Haunt them.
Right.
Go while you can.
I know what's left.
Closing. Well, just, White Horse just got sold.
No way.
Oh, yeah. You guys didn't hear that?
You know what, though? Yes. To be fair, this is going to be an unpopular opinion.
Yeah. Oh, go for it.
I never went there anyway.
Fair enough, but it's. I feel like it's one of those places where even if you didn't go... regularly.
You want it to exist.
Yeah, it's like you're happy that it's still there.
It's haunted
you know what I mean?
By
yeah.
Dylan Thomas's ghost.
Right.
Is he going to haunt like a Starbucks now? Like what no, are it's, they putting
no, they're,
in there?
No, they're
it's
keeping, they're keeping
be...
it the White Horse, but it's like, it's you know who's one of the investors? It's the Mooch.
Who's the Mooch?
Anthony
Scaramucci?
Yeah, yeah. He's a partner. He and
oh, geez.
What's his name? Eitan Sugarman, I think is the cat's name.
Wow.
So they're going to just give it like a makeover? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
They'll probably kind of do what they did with Chumleys, where they'll kind of jazz it up.
Oh, wait, they're involved in Chumleys?
No,
too?
No, no. But like similar to how Chumleys redid it.
They did more. Chumleys, I mean, the new Chumleys, I went in there, walked in the first time and thought, oh, this I'll just have some beers at this place. And then I walked in and was like, nope. What? Oh, this bears no resemblance to the place.
At all. Right. Yeah.
And then I did end up going there. And it was delightful, but I was
but
like, well, also it, and this is rare, this takes, but I was just like, I won't, never coming back here unless someone else's money is being spent.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, because I was just like, this was awesome, yeah. But not that awesome.
Yeah.
I spent so much money. It was like $1 million.
Well, the great thing about you as E.G. Scott is you're never footing the bill.
Right.
Oh.
You know
right.
what I mean? I mean, you're floating.
Totally.
You're floating on a combination of someone else's bank account and copious goodwill.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you can't stay mad at E.G. Scott.
No.
At all.
No.
Sure, he pissed on your couch.
Yeah.
Sure, he fucked your wife. But, you know...
Several times.
You don't get the genius without the, you know,
well, that's
the
what
flaws.
It is. I mean, that's what it is. He's, you know, we collectively, I think we excuse a lot of bad behavior. You well. Know, when...
Can we explore more why he's always wet? Like, is he just getting out of your shower after sleeping
oh,
with your
yeah,
wife?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. Of, yeah, like
yeah, you're all, he's always damp from having to run. He's having to climb out the window.
And he's using
post-shower.
Your toiletries. Like, he,
oh yeah, he's
yeah.
using all your shit.
Right.
All your high-end
yeah. He
product.
Always smells like someone else.
Right.
Yep. He never smells like himself.
Well, that's you know
he
what
has
it is.
No special smell.
That's the thing, and that's how he ultimately. That's what buries him in the end. Is that
yeah.
you know whoever it is can say, wait, that smells like my conditioner. So it's
right.
like he know that's what gets him.
He's always know? One step ahead, just based
but like just
yes.
teetering
right.
on that. You know, one day it's all going to come crumbling down.
You know what? This
marvelously.
Is and I know this is when people are like, oh, you can use this. I find that to be the most offensive thing that anyone can say. It's like, here's a great idea. You can have it.
Right.
But here's
right.
one you can have
okay.
since you guys are in the business of writing thrillers.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
My dog, Lucy, here.
Oh, sweetest, Joe Franklin.
The sweetest sweetie.
Yeah.
I learned this through my friend Pete, who walks her.
Okay.
Is that he knows the place... I think she just... Oh, no, that was her claw. I thought she farted.
That would have been exciting. Does that happen during every podcast?
Farting?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Usually, the last podcast we recorded here, I had to explain... to the guests that the dog had farted because it was just otherwise it would have seemed
awkward,
like I was just shamelessly letting them rip like
yeah.
I did not care about
no
other human
for
beings
guests.
And
yeah.
I was like just so you know.
Yep. That is what the
you're smelling. Was this a successful guest? Because then it could have been like maybe the that like low key fuck you that we're talking about.
No, right? No. Yeah, it was the they were parts. Successful.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. So
that's probably in their head. They were probably thinking what we were just talking about.
Yeah,
thinking like this guy. This is how he's gonna. This is how he's gonna fuck me. Is he's gonna? Just
no. I think that they were just like this guy does not have hang-ups.
Yeah.
About farts,
which is good because there's a bit of E.G. Scott in that.
Yeah.
It's a totally E.G. Scott move.
In your performance,
my version.
Scott. Yeah.
But what I was gonna say is that Lucy, like, she has her spots all over town where she gets her dog treats.
Oh, sure.
And, like, where she, you know, this building. And then, so, Pete will be like, do you go to this store a lot? Mm-hmm. And, like, because she's like, she drags me to these different stores. And I'm like,
because she knows what's up.
It totally knows my life, basically, in the neighborhood. Because it's like, yeah, this place, like, the wine store down the street, they give her treats, and now she, and that's like, oh, that's genius, because she always pulls me into the wine store, and then you get in there, you're like, I'll take
the case of wine,
yeah,
you know, while I'm here.
And she, you know, same thing, like the guitar store, and like she's got treats lined up all over town.
Well, she knows what's going on. If you're walking by, next time you're walking by 10th and Waverly, swing into Three Lives Booksellers.
Oh, they have treats?
Oh, they have treats. Yeah.
I think they did give her a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
also
in there with her the other day.
Bookstore.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so get in there, man.
But what I was going to say is, like, maybe, like, there's an affair where the guy weirdly takes his dog all the time.
Mm. Well, the dog's...
Or there's a murder that the guy weirdly takes his dog, and there was treats at the murder scene.
That's good. That's good. We can do sort of a very canine-centric, maybe book three.
Because I was thinking you could look at the, like, someone's path in their day based on, like, say you get murdered.
Yeah.
We could have Lucy take us around to all the places you used to go with her.
Yeah.
And then those are the witnesses. So person at the wine store, person they at know. Pleasure Chest, wherever,
yeah,
you
pleasure
know,
chest.
You just
let's
chip
let's,
into.
Because that's salacious, too.
Yeah.
I'm distracted. Is this a fucking guitar pick from Frenchette?
Yeah.
These guys are making guitar picks?
I got yeah.
That is the that's the smoothest shit I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, they nice. Every time I go there, Spanky
that's great.
Gives me guitar picks.
That's
and they're
great.
Good picks. I use them.
I mean, anyone just, you know, I mean, that's a nice riff on the matchbook.
You know? E.G. Scott business card?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what we do.
That's a great idea.
That's not a bad idea at all.
I mean, and then we're opening it up to musicians who haven't quite discovered.
Mm-hmm. You know who
literature.
Else is opening? You know who else? You know who else does an amazing job of bridging the worlds of music and literature?
Who's that?
Dave Hill.
Oh.
Well,
author,
that's debatable.
Comedian, writer of books, all around great guy.
Right.
And then I rip solos.
And I'm not just saying that because we're on your podcast. I would say that to her
in private.
Yeah, like when we leave, I might say something nice about you. Several blocks away.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I will return something nice about Dave Hill to you.
Yeah, he didn't fart.
That's...
God
we'll
bless
there.
Him.
We'll start there.
Did not fart during the proceedings.
But see, now you're making it seem like it's a sort of a zero-sum game, and I think we can do better than that.
Yeah, you're right. You raise a good point.
I don't know.
So, and then now, bringing it back to the book.
Yeah.
The Woman Inside. You're working on the follow-up now.
We are.
Almost done with it.
We have turned in a manuscript. We had a call with Dutton.
Really great editorial notes.
Great
so
editorial notes.
Revise.
And so we will have, you know, a few weeks of revisions, and then, you know, hopefully we're in good shape.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about with the canine murder situation would be, that would have to be at least book three.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
or somewhere
fine.
Down the road.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
Do you have a title for the next book?
We do. Do you want to?
Can you say or no?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is break. Is this breaking?
This is breaking.
This is breaking.
Oh, this
I
is
mean,
breaking.
And
your listeners will be the first.
And it's always subject to change because that
sure.
title, The Woman Inside, was not the original title.
What was it originally?
True.
Well, we had a couple, but
the
Last Wife was...
There's Last Life. There's a different woman.
A different woman.
It was called A Different Woman?
Yeah.
A Different Woman.
The Woman Inside's better title than A Different Woman.
This is why it's on the this is why it's on the jacket.
Because you're like, well, she's in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
Guessing. Just first impressions.
There are double meanings in that. Once you get further into the book, you'll figure out what's
No, I'm just pretending to be a person walking into the store and being like, okay.
Well, also, shout out to Christopher Lin, who did an amazing job on the design.
Yes, it is beautiful.
It's an eye-catching jacket. He knocked it out of the park.
Like on the first go, too. Yeah.
This cat is...
Oh, you didn't...
Very, very
Like
talented.
They didn't have the two of you hanging from a lamppost or something.
No.
In cartoon form.
Never happened. No, he did. That was his first...
I would have liked to see that for
Well,
sure.
now we can... Maybe that's book three.
Something to think about.
He did... So he did, I think, one round of sort of... I think it was maybe a dozen or so variations of that design... And came back with that one, and the one we went with was the one that was sort of his favorite of the batch.
Oh,
which
nice!
Which we found out after.
Oh, cool! Yeah. So it was all.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, book covers, because like they, I realized I should have no say. I've fought a lot the first two books, and then the latest book, I was just like, I'm staying out of it.
Yeah.
Just do what you're gonna do.
There you go.
And I'm really excited about that.
That might be lessening your headache.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna just see where it gets me.
Sure.
But I actually like the new book cover. So.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Ooh, so there. Can we see it?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
Well, if we tell you the title of our second book.
Yeah. Now we're gonna use that as leverage.
It's an even trade. Yes. Yeah. What's the title?
So the title is In Case of Emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that.
Right. And we were shocked that no one has ever used that title on a book, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
So it's good because it sounds like it, which is good. Yeah,
it sounds like it's a book. That,
yeah,
you know,
it does.
Like it's already in your head there.
Well, I hope you it sounds like a book it. Like someone wants to read and not like a book they've already read. Maybe they're just like, oh yeah, I read that one.
That sounds familiar.
Hear me out on this. The cover is you have an axe behind glass, right?
Okay.
Break in case of emergency, right? But then in the background, sort of on the ground, is a dead body.
Ooh.
Already been killed by an axe.
People
that's
are going to
run. I don't know if you even have that in your book.
That's true. We don't, but that's very trippy, though.
Chris, edit that suggestion out. That was a horrible idea.
Chris, leave it in.
Why?
In case of
emergency. Leave it in. No, it's... I've not...
I think we want to keep this raw and honest.
This
is maybe your resume.
You know? It's, you know, this is how, you know, an occasional misfire is how the, you know, how creative, you know, synergy works sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
You know? We're spitballing here.
I'm the bad idea that inspires the good idea.
You should put that on your heavyweight
card. My heavyweight.
On your card.
Now, when will, because, well, people, The Woman Inside has been out a couple months.
Yeah, it came out January 22nd and dropped.
Oh my god, I'm almost down to the day. It's like a form of autism.
Yeah, well, you're good. You have sort of a, is it like
two
a sort
months
of a Rain
and six
Man
days.
Situation? Yeah.
I just crunch the numbers on that.
6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre how I do that.
We've all got talents.
And then what do you know when the next one will be out?
Wow, we're sort of in the process of figuring that out right now.
Well, I think based on when we deliver and they accept.
Right, that'll kind of dictate that a bit.
You know, this book we sold in April, and then it was out in January, so it was really fast.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Oh my gosh, that is fast.
Well, we were lucky in that they were really happy with the first manuscript, so there wasn't
excited.
A lot to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But, you know...
And they were excited to... They were really enthusiastic about getting it out into the world.
Right.
Which was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see what shakes out with this. Again, you know, as she said, depending on how the editorial stuff goes and...
Right. We're about to go into revision mode, which I'm sure you're aware is like
you've been down this path.
Alternate universe where time takes on a different quality.
It sure does.
Insanity will ensue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then do you get to the point, well, because I'm at this point now with my future bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that because I said that with the first two and I jinxed them, I think. By calling them that. But you get to the point where it's like a lasagna. You finish and you're just like, ugh, get it away from me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't want lasagna.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully other people want lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of layers to that.
And you can't even tell that it's lasagna anymore.
No,
no, just, you're just like, you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to go out and get a sandwich.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. A lot of effort goes into that lasagna, a lot of layering.
Yeah.
Slow
cooking. We've been in this book now like this. I mean, we were writing it during our book tour.
Right.
Which was kind of crazy.
That was a weird juggling act. Yeah, so it's you're
oh, that's no fun.
Well, it's
just be getting hammered.
Yeah.
On a book
tour. Well, it's sort of you're having to use kind of a couple different parts of your brain too, because you're in promotional mode for the one, and then you're in creative mode for the other one, and you're kind of trying to toggle back and forth.
Trying to keep characters straight.
Yeah.
And spoiling book two.
Yeah,
audiences for book one.
We were kind of joking. We're like, you know, let's really try to not start talking about characters in the book we're writing now with people who have read the first one. Like, we're like, who? What?
I'll be in the back, and I'll be like, that's from In Case of Emergency.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
You should be our tour fact checker. Like, you kind of just hang out. And drink copiously, and then figure out what's going on. I think that's a good way.
This we're at. I just got the alert.
Okay.
Well, we're at work. Either Chris will edit out this part that I'm saying now.
Okay.
But basically, we should wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Say goodnight.
Great.
And then we release it. And then you feel the Dave Hill effect.
Okay.
We're very excited for that. Thanks for having us on. This has actually been a blast.
No, this has been really
Thank you for doing it. And everyone, as I've already, we'll have already implored them on both sides of this conversation.
Okay.
Everyone get the woman inside.
All right. No, we appreciate you.
I mean, or I'll stab you.
There it is.
That's what I was hoping for.
I wanted a threat of violence.
Well, you got some juice in this town, and I guess maybe it's just
global.
Intimidation.
It's global.
Yeah.
Global
intimidation. I mean, in this town, when I say, like, I mean the big stage,
Earth.
But maybe is that the trick? Is it intimidation? Is that how you get them?
It's like not non intimidation.
Okay. okay.
So there.
Sure.
Also, is this the first podcast that you think Goldie Hawn and Malcolm Gladwell have been mentioned in the same?
I think we covered a lot of ground.
I hope they're both listening, and I hope they both love the book.
I think, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, anyone who knows either of those people, let them know
one of them.
You do,
and you know Goldie. I feel like you do.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it as you do.
I like it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
And there you have it, my delightful conversation with E.G. Scott, a.k.a. Elizabeth Keenan and Greg Wands. Please go get the book, The Woman Inside. It's incredible. I'm holding it in my hand now. It's a substantial book, and I'm really enjoying it. Read the fuck out of it. And I encourage you to also do that. Thank you for listening. Please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Dave Hill, or go to Patreon, search Dave Hill. Throw some money in the till. I don't know why I keep saying it like that. Like, well, you know, it's a church picnic. But I just got so many medications. And listen to Dave Hill, History Fluffer. There you go. That's two podcasts. About 2 hours of your time each week. Less than it takes to have a killer workout or something. I don't know what's going on with me. My thanks, as always, to my partner in crime, Mr. Chris Gersbeck, the brains behind the operation. Breaking news, WoW Air has gone under. Never saw that coming. They're like the sexy version of Spirit Airlines. Oh boy, can't believe, I'm such a bitch. Okay. I think that's it for now. Until next time, I'm Dave Hill. Keep up the good work, everybody. Baby, I'm gone.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.